You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome back to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and in just a moment, we're going to hear part two of Dr. James Dobson's powerful conversation with Victor and Eileen Marks from All Things Possible Ministries. Together, this husband and wife duo lead high-risk rescue missions as a part of their ministry's global mission to set captives free physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, last time we heard Victor, a former Marine, discuss his brand new book called The Dangerous Gentleman, and we had to leave off on a bit of a cliffhanger, just as Victor began to tell the story of when God called him to go into Gaza and to pray. Not something most Americans would willingly do, eh? Now, before we begin, I want to remind you that today's program is part of our 2024 Best of Broadcast collection, and this highly anticipated resource is available right now as a 6-CD set or a digital download when you visit drjamesdobson.org. We'll be happy to send it to you as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute today. And now, let's hear part two of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Victor and Eileen Marks here on Family Talk. Victor had just entered Gaza, a highly dangerous and active war zone.
When we went in, this is very funny, and we go in, me and one other person, we're Americans, this SF team takes us. Most of them are backing down this berm because I thought they were going to bring us up north. They brought us right into Gaza City. I mean, the fighting was going on. So we get up on this berm, and I'm like, Lord, the main thing you told me to do is pray, so I'm going to pray. And I have my buddy next to me, and I just lift my hands up. Now, I'm silhouetted. You can see me. And I just start praying over the evil of Hamas, protection of all innocent people. And as I'm praying, I see my IDF friends. They're getting lower and lower. And I'm not really understanding, but I just keep praying. Here's what happened. Unbeknownst to me, there was a sniper in a building in front of us shooting. I didn't know. They knew. But they were like, now, I had kit and a helmet on, but still, you don't want to silhouette yourself with your arms up like, hey, take a shot at me. I keep praying and praying. Then I heard the sounds of a tank track. And it's actually on video. It's very like, this tank came out of nowhere. An Israeli tank turns, aims its turret at the building and goes, boom, and just puts a big round right in that building, goosh, and the shooting stopped. I kept praying the whole time. So when we were heading back, these Israeli brothers, all tough, all great, he looks at me, he goes, your faith is very strong. I started laughing, and that's when he told me, I said, well, I didn't know a sniper was shooting at me. I think faith in action, good works that God's prepared for us, everybody in their own lane. Like, I would never recommend somebody doing the work we do. You got to be called to it. But just being faithful to the lane that God has called you to do, man, that will impact people, and we need men to step up and just trust God and obey in every area and stop compromising. That's the killer of real moral and what I would call moral masculinity, compromise.
And then from there you went to Iraq?
Yes, sir. Our last mission, which was recent, we'd been planning.
This is the one I want people to hear.
Well, my bride and I, our team had been planning a rescue from our intelligence of a young woman who had been held captive for 9 years. And we'd come back from Israel. I'm exhausted. I mean, I'm smoked because we hit Israel twice. And all of a sudden I get a call. Hey, boss, it's a green light to get this woman, this girl. And I thought, I prayed and I said, okay. The only thing is we needed a female on our team, the best chance of a good rescue. So because she was
Let's get this straight now.
Yes.
There's a girl there that had been in captivity for how long?
9 years.
9 years.
By ISIS.
And you're going in there with the goal of bringing her out.
Yes, sir.
Did you expect not to survive that? I mean, you're going into Satan's world there.
I would say this. We always expect to win every time. We've never entered any engagement or rescue without 100% confidence that the Lord is in control. Now, we've had the hard conversations that because of the work we do, if one of us end up in heaven, you know, are we okay with that? I remember looking at my bride when, remember, it was to rescue a little boy, bring him out of harm's way in Mosul. And I remember telling Eileen, babe, this is a bad one. We do risk assessments. I go, this is really bad. And she's like, well, did the Lord tell you to go? I said, yeah. I said,
Eileen, I got to interrupt. You didn't have to do this. And you were putting yourself in risk. You're the mother of all these five kids. How in the world did you get the guts to do what happened?
Wow. Well, you know what? I think it's just God speaking to us. He gives us a peace. And I don't question that peace. Yes. I mean, every single time that we've been in, there's always that chance that something bad can happen. But you know what? I've looked at our life. It's like, this is not my life. God saved me, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. And so many of the people that we are reaching, so many don't know. So many don't have that eternal confidence. So that's what moves me.
Okay, tell us what happened. You're going in there to try to rescue this girl.
Yes.
How old was she?
Late 20s. So she was kidnapped as a teenager.
Did she know you were coming?
No, she did not know. So there were so many different pieces that had to make this happen because she was being held in a place that was controlled by ISIS.
And some things we can't share because
it's for
security reasons even now.
But so we had an incredible team that has intel that, like Victor said, 6 months of planning. So now the window is open. So we get over there and we understand what we're dealing with and who's behind all of this. So we just went with actually great expectation. Like Victor said, we had such great expectation. Even though 1,000 things could have gone wrong, 1,000 things went great. In fact, the last piece of this whole rescue, we are in a vehicle. We are heading back to our safe house. Mm-hmm. There is a checkpoint that nobody ever gets out of. Nobody. Our vehicle with the woman and her two children in the back seat, we go right by the checkpoint. Nobody stops
us. They didn't even stop.
It's like an angel was covering the car, and it's like the people at the checkpoint didn't even see us travel. It was so, that to me is like, this is the final stamp of God saying, you're done. You're through.
So you and another woman walked into the place where this girl was being kept.
So it was only Eileen.
Yep.
And it's so complicated even now. There's some details we can't even
I don't want you to put yourself at risk.
But I will say this, that Eileen was the only female to make first contact with the mother and the two children. And it was so high risk that our lead ops guy just said, Eileen, if there's a man with her, he's ISIS. And if he tries to grab her, or if he even looks at you, you have to draw your weapon and kill him. And you know, we don't ever want to engage people and have to use violence to do what we do, but we're certainly prepared for it. And thank God, I mean, Eileen, when she was kitting up, and again, folks, listen, civilian clothes, jacket, low vis, body armor, you'd never know. But she's carrying a pistol, 2 mags, a blade. She put a grenade in her pocket. You know, it's very funny. You look at it and go, man, people have called us the real Mr. and Mrs. Smith. We always chuckle. We didn't, until we watched the movie, then we're like, oh my gosh, maybe kind of we are. But I asked our team, Doc, I said, first of all, what's the oldest female operator you've ever worked with in these type of high-risk missions? They were like mid-30s. And folks, I'm telling you, ladies, my bride turned 60 before we did this. And, I mean, she looks like she's in her late 30s.
That's true.
So we're very disciplined to stay mission ready. Mm-hmm. And that's our challenge to both men and women. Be mission ready, physically, emotionally, and spiritually for whatever God has for you.
Okay, describe the event. I don't want that minute to get away from us here.
So we were able to execute the mission and thread the needle in a way, because it was more than one country. We had to move through multiple countries to safely get her to our home. And all the while, you're basically kidnapping someone from ISIS. And you're moving with an ISIS woman. Even though she's kidnapped, she's been held 9 years, we weren't for certain how far she was programmed or brainwashed. And that was the big risk the whole time. But when everything finally worked out, because it was a 5-day execution from really start to finish, when we got her and the boys back into our safe house inside of Iraq, it was the most beautiful reunion we'd ever seen. These kids were playing with toys in our little living room. It was the first time she took off her hijab in front of men. And we called her brother, because her father had died while she was in captivity. And in Arabic, they say, you know, he died of tears, which we know is just a broken heart. Her brother got on the phone. He could not believe it. She's telling him, "I'm rescued. I'm rescued. I'm not with Daesh no more, or ISIS." He goes, "Where are you?" She goes, "I don't know," because we did all of our stuff at night. "I don't know. Who rescued you?" And all she could say was, "They're just Christians from America." And that's all she needed to know. And once we talked with the brother, he goes, "What do y'all want? Like money, whatever?" And we said, "Nothing. Jesus sent us here to help. And you'll always know it's him." And we were gone. We were out of country within hours. We had to leave. And we're still, because it's kind of fresh. When you hurt ISIS's feelings that bad, they take notice. So we don't live paranoid, but we live prepared.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, so God gets the glory.
You've been doing this for years, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How long?
Gosh, 2014 was our first high-risk mission. And then before that, working with high-risk kids here in the U.S. who've been trafficked or abused. So 21 years now total. I tell folks, I try to say, it doesn't matter if you're overseas or in your own neighborhood, we're fighting evil in the manifestation of it. And a great example is someone tried to kill me here and at our home. A guy tried to shoot me, and this was 10 months ago. When I talk about being a dangerous gentleman, I've had to make decisions that change the course of bad people's future. And I would say being a dangerous gentleman doesn't mean you're violent or toxic or whatever. Actually, what you do is all based out of love. And being capable matters. But meekness, one of the first things I learned, and I know you've taught this, is meekness is power under control. And Christ was the best example. So when this guy took a shot at me hiding in a trailer on our property, as far as I couldn't see him, he pulled a pistol. I didn't even know he was going to shoot me. Boom, he shoots. And it was 36 inches from the barrel to my head. And the round missed me by 2 fingers. Because they measured it out. And again, guardian angels, because there's no way someone should have missed me from that close. And it's like I sent a video to President Trump, and I just said, you know, I know what it's like. And don't let your anger turn into bitterness. Because I had spoken Mar-a-Lago when he was there. So I just said, you know, we're not hard to find. We're just hard to kill, because God's angels are watching over us. And he's not through with us yet. I guess the point about meekness, power, and control, when this fellow tried to kill me, I drew my weapon and put it on him. I could have killed him like that, but I moved off the X where he couldn't get a shot at me. And I really heard the Holy Spirit say, "Don't shoot him," because I could have killed him right there. And it would have been justified. But instead of shooting, it was contain him. Contain him. So had he come out of the trailer as a threat, a hostile intent, then I would have killed him, but I didn't. 5.5-hour standoff by SWAT here in Colorado Springs, El Paso County. He gets arrested for second-degree attempted murder, and he's facing that.
Eileen, you live in a dangerous world. How do you cope with that?
Well, again, I just go back to, you know what, I know why we're here. This is not our home. And our motto that we used to say before we got married is that we're just passing through. And I just have to say that that's God's faith. God gives us that measure of faith to really believe that and live that out. I mean, Old Testament, I was saying earlier, people in the Old Testament, I love the people, their heart, because they didn't count their life so precious to them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, this is not our home, so it's easy for me. And I do know that that's a measure of faith.
You know, there's a song to that effect. Let me sing it to you.
Okay.
I've never sung a song on the radio yet, and you hear my voice. It's craggy. But I'll just tell you what the words say. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Mm-hmm. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Mm. The angels beckon me from heaven's other shore, and I won't be alone in this world anymore.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful.
I love that. Amen.
That's comforting.
I grew up with that song.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well,
and that's truth.
Yes.
And that's what men need now more than ever. And I think the young men understand there's nothing to satisfy. I mean, we have the highest levels of anxiety, depression, and suicide among our young people more than ever. So this is when—
Who are you referring to?
In the U.S., young people. It's the one thing, like— Well, I was just in Texas this past weekend, and I spoke at a youth prison. There was about 40 kids in there, all violent offenders. And I thought, man, here we go, Lord. And a state representative there, the warden, and they just said, man, if you can get through these kids. And I shared my story, and I told them the truth of the gospel and what God could do. You know, half of them raise their hand to give their life to Christ.
Is that right?
Again. So we are tasked with the responsibility of presenting the gospel. And I think the dangerous gentleman is a good way to encourage
men. Let's talk about that. The dangerous gentleman. Explain that as a place to begin.
Well, people ask me, dangerous gentleman, that sounds like a oxymoron.
Is Jesus the dangerous gentleman?
I think he's the best example, Doc. Because everything he did was motivated out of love. And he had capability beyond anyone else on this earth. Christ never called us to be passive. That's a misnomer, and it's bad propaganda. He called us to have active faith, to occupy until he returns. I mean, how many times are we told in the Bible to not be afraid and to be courageous? So the book is stories and accounts of what we've done that I think will both encourage and challenge men. That's what we're hearing, to go, oh, my gosh, God is able to do that. It's like Eileen told me in Iraq on a mission to go get this kid. I said, babe, are you willing to become a widow for the cause of Christ? Because if I leave here and go try to get that little boy out of Mosul, there's a chance I could be killed. And I'll never forget, I'd rather be a widow than married to a man known for being a coward.
Oh, my.
And women, you need to challenge your husband. Stop nagging. Nagging doesn't get anything done. One of the most powerful things Eileen has said to me is when I'm sideways or struggling, she just goes, honey, lead me better than that. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, husband and wives, that's the best ministry you can have. That's the greatest thing I've ever done, is stay married, never cheat on my wife, never been cheated on. That's the greatest thing I've ever accomplished, because that's the institution that God ordained. From everything else, it flows. But if we didn't make it, then we wouldn't be talking about any of these stories of God's miraculous power.
Victor, what is a man of courage today? I'm sure a lot of people really don't know, because it's not modeled in many places. What does it mean to be a man of courage?
Well, there's physical courage, and then there's what I would say moral courage. I think moral courage or moral masculinity, leading with that as a foundation will give a man physical courage. If you try to reverse them, then there's a chance you won't accomplish it.
Yeah.
Stand up for what is right. Don't be quiet in the face of what's evil. And you've done that for all these decades. You've stood up against what the culture says is normal and right. We're living in a day and age where the Bible says that they'll call evil good and good evil. And men need to stop being passive, accept responsibility, fight for a greater good. There's a war going on. Again, it's spiritual, but it takes the courage that you can receive by the power of God's Spirit in your life. It will be dampened by, I think, impurity. I tell men, if you're looking at porn and you're not living a pure life, don't expect the power of God to flow through you. Mm. That will quench everything. Have a clear conscience. And, well, I never forget, I was in a locker room, some men were talking, and this has happened more than one occasion, and these men start talking about cheating on their wife. And they're laughing. They look over at me like, and I just looked at them and said, I don't find that funny. You made a commitment to your wife, and now you think somehow it's wrong. And I've said that on more than one occasion. I've said it to politicians in a small room of some well-known people, and one of them was talking about cheating with his So, you know, it's okay for men to stand up.
Well, Victor and Elaine, I always enjoy talking to you all because of your courage, your commitment, the people that you have changed. And this book, I think, will be of great meaning to a lot of people because America has forgotten what it means to be masculine.
Yes, sir.
And to do what God calls us to do. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. I want to end with a story. We've known you all these years, as I've said. Shirley and I decided to come over to your house and ask if you would teach her to shoot a pistol.
Yes.
Just for self-protection.
Yes.
You know, I'm gone a lot. And so you agreed to do that. You brought us over. We went out in your backyard, and you gave us each a pistol.
Yeah.
And Shirley shot first. And you gave her a few instructions, not much, and then put her about 10, 15 feet away from a target. And she stepped up there and she blew the hole in the center of that target three times, didn't she?
Oh,
yes. I was so proud of her. She hit the target one.
Believe
two,
me,
three.
This has never happened before.
Oh. And you had said she never used a firearm. And Eileen, it's one of our highlights. We have some very fun pictures of that where we were both shocked. I'm like, good night.
Truly.
And then and then you followed up. You said, I haven't shot a pistol in so long. And you got up there and you were hitting the target really well in the chest. And you go, but I want to shoot him in the face. I said, well, adjust this. Boom, boom, boom. You're shooting the target. I said, these are two warriors, babe.
Oh, yes.
Like in their 80s, warriors.
You're telling the truth now. This actually happened.
Yes.
Oh, we have photos to prove it.
Yes.
We're both proud and excited.
Yes.
And again, that's leadership. Mm-hmm. I said, look at them. They're out here still training, still hungry. And,
I have a courageous wife.
Yes,
you do.
You do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, we call her the queen warrior.
Mm.
Well, thanks for being with us today and yesterday. We appreciate your telling the personal stories that you've gone through. You take some risk whenever you talk like this, don't you?
We do. And again, we try to be sensitive to God and know our time on earth is limited. So we want to advance the kingdom as much as we can. And again, being prepared keeps us from being paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and we just heard part two of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Victor and Eileen Marks. If you want to learn more about All Things Possible Ministries or Victor's new book called The Dangerous Gentleman, go to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Now, before we leave the air for the week, I want to let you know that your prayers and financial support mean the world to us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and I have some exciting news to share. This December, thanks to some special friends of the ministry, we have a special matching grant in place between now and December 31st. Every dollar you donate to Family Talk will be doubled. And you can also take advantage of that doubling match when you ask for your copy of the 2024 Best of Broadcast Collection. It's available either as a 6-CD set or a digital download. We'll send it to you as our way of thanking you for your year-end gift of any amount in support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute when you go to drjamesdobson.org. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, inviting you back next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.